I know if you've landed on this blog post and watching this video, you need the answers quickly to this error message. Cannot connect to your SQL Server name. Login failed for user. Username, error code 18456. So I'm going to walk through the process of fixing this for you. It will only take a couple of minutes, so I strongly encourage you to watch the video throughout. I also have the details on the blog post. But I will give you additional information on the video that's not included in the blog post. So first and foremost, I want to point out that I'm logged into this machine as TechSQL SQL user. And as you can see, I have this error message, and I don't have access whenever I try to authenticate with SQL Server. So I'm going to go ahead and well, first thing I need to do is I need to figure out what user does have access rights to SQL Server. I'm going to go ahead and log in as an administrative user. So I'm logged into the SQL Server now as an administrative user. And you'll see whenever I go in, I do have access from this user, but I'm going to pretend like I don't know who the user is that has access to it. So I'm going to walk you through the process of going to figure that out. So I'm going to go into Server Manager. So I'm on Windows Server. In the lower left-hand corner, I can go to Server Manager. And in Server Manager, I can go to Tools, Computer Management. And what you need to do is you need to go look at users to see who the administrative users are. And there is a built-in account for administering users. If you don't know who the administrative users are, you can go to this built-in administrator account. So I see Guru Admin has administrative permissions, so I can log into SQL Server with that user, and I'll automatically have access rights to SQL Server. If I drill down and look at the groups that this member belongs to, you see that he is indeed an administrator on the local box, and I'm actually logged into my SQL box. So now I can log into SQL Server with that user. So I actually can go to my desk, to my all apps, and I'm actually going to right click and go ahead and pin to the taskbar while I'm here, and I'm also going to pin to the start, and then I'm going to go ahead and launch my SQL Server 2014 Enterprise Manager. Okay, so now I can very easily log in with this user, and if I go ahead and connect, I will have access rights to my database. Now, what I want to do is I want to grant access rights to the other user. So I'm going to go to Security, Logins, go ahead and expand that, and you'll see that Guru Admin is there, but I don't have that TechSQL SQL user. So I'm going to right-click and go to New Login. Now, on the New Login page, I want to go ahead and click on Windows Authentication, which is the default, and I'm going to type in the username that I want to add, or I can just click on Search to bring up a box, and then I can go to Advanced, and I can just pick the user, hit Find Now, and I can pick the user out of a list. So if you know who the user is, you can just type it in, and you can shortcut this a little bit. So I want to grab my SQL user, say OK, and say OK again. So what I'm doing is I'm adding this user, and let's go ahead and set up some of the other options for this particular user as well. So I want to go to Server Roles, and I want to grant them access rights to the database. So I want to go ahead and make them a sysadmin, and that will give them the access rights that I want them this particular user to have. You could also make them a server admin or any of these others, DB creator, whatever. In my case, I'm going to go ahead and make them a sysadmin. Now, the other thing that you might want to do is go to user mappings, and if you have individual databases that you want to give them access rights to, like if you had your user database, that would be listed here. You can go and turn that on and then grant them, you know, data reader, data writer access. You'd probably want to do that as well. In my case, I'm not going to set up any user databases now, but that's how you would do it. If I go to status, you'll see that the permission to connect to the database is granted and the login is enabled. So I'm going to go ahead and click OK. Okay, I want to go ahead and create a new database so I can show you how to set up the security on the database. So I'm going to go to New Database. I'm going to call this My Test DB, and I'm going to go ahead and say OK. Now, if you go to databases, you'll see I have a MyTestDB here. So underneath the user, I can go in and go back to properties, go to user mapping, and go ahead and grant this user access rights to MyTestDB. And I want to give them data reader and data writer for this particular database. I'm going to say OK. Now, whenever this user, let me switch back to the other user. Now, whenever this user logs in or tries to connect, I do not get an error message. And in fact, whenever I go in here, you'll see that I have access to MyTestDB. And the same would work for if I were accessing it via another client other than just the SQL Server Management Studio. Okay, now I want to ask you to stick around for a couple more minutes because I'm going to give you some tips that are going to be super important. First and foremost, in order to access your SQL Server from another machine, you'll need to open up the firewall ports in order to allow that to happen. So to do that, if you just click on Start and then type in Firewall, you'll get to Windows Firewall and Advanced Security. Go ahead and click on that. And then you want to go to Inbound Rules, right-click, and say New Rule. Okay, you want to do a port, and the standard port for SQL is TCP port 1433. Just want to say Next, allow the connection. And I want to do only on my domain network. And then I'm going to say Next. And I'm going to go ahead and give this a name of Allow SQL. 1433, allow SQL 1433, and I'm going to go ahead and say finish, and you'll see the new port was created, and that is going to allow traffic inbound into your SQL Server. Now, that's going to allow it into your firewall. If you're running on another platform, or if you're going across other firewalls that might be on your network, you would need to set up forwarding rules and stuff on that as well. Okay, the next thing that I want to talk about is, I want to show you some basic SQL queries. But before I do that, I need to have a database. So the first thing that I want to do is I want to go ahead and show you how to download and install a sample database. I'm going to go to AdventureWorks, and I'm going to select this first entry, which is Microsoft dbprodsamples.codeplex. In my case, I'm going to go ahead and download the 2014 version. So I'm going to do the AdventureWorks 2014 full database backup. I've got to open that file, and you'll notice that it pops up for a download. So I'm going to go ahead and do a Save As, and I'm going to save that to my Downloads folder. Okay, now I can go ahead and open that folder. I'll see the database there. I can right-click, and I can Extract All. And I'm just going to extract it to this folder. And you'll see there's my backup file. So now I can go into my SQL Server Management Studio. Under Databases, I'm going to right-click and Restore Database. Actually, before I do that, I want to check one other thing. I want to check out where my databases are going to be stored. So I'm going to right-click on the server. In this case, I'm on my Guru SQL server. So if I right-click and I select Properties, I want to see what my drive. So I have a local drive of F, and I have data and a log folder there. So this is where I want those files to go. And so I'm going to go to... Nope, it's under database settings. So under database settings, you'll see that my default value is F data and F logs for my logs. While I'm here, I'm going to go ahead and change my backup location to also be F:\backup. And I'm going to go ahead and say OK. So while I'm here, I also want to go ahead and create that backup folder so that whenever I do create a backup, I don't have any issues with the path not being there. So now I can go back into my databases. I can right-click, and I can restore database. And I'm going to restore from a device. The device is the file that I want to download. I'm going to go ahead and add. Since I know my backup folder is on the F drive, I'm going to go ahead and make it easy on myself, and I'm going to copy this, or I could move it to my F drive in my backup folder. And the name of the file is VentureWorks 2014. So now I can go in here. I'm under devices. I can go ahead and click on add. I'm under file, and there's my VentureWorks file. Say okay. Say okay again. And it is ready to be imported. If I go to files, you'll see that it has the two files, the log file and the data file, and it's putting them in the right location. And then the options, I can just keep those as the default. So I say okay, and it's going to go ahead and restore that database, create that database. Okay, the database was successfully created. So if I go back into my databases now, you'll see that AdventureWorks was indeed listed there. Now, the next thing that I want to do is I want to show you some things. So if I'm going to drill down here and show you navigating through a database, I can click on the tables and see all the tables that make up this database. And then a couple of really quick things. I want to look at some of the data. So I can take this person in person. If I expand it, you can see the columns, the fields that are associated with that. But if I right click on this, I can do select top 200 rows. It'll automatically run a query to pull that data. So without knowing any Transact SQL, I can go ahead and look at that data. And you'll see this is all of the records. Of course, if you right click, you can do other things too, like select the top 1,000 rows. You can script the table to create the table, to insert into the table, to select it. So I'm going to go ahead and do select to new query window, and it's going to actually write the code for me to select all the records in that table. So this is, and then if I wanted to rearrange the fields the way that they're displayed, I could do that. Or if I wanted to delete some fields that I don't care about, I can just delete it from the code to exclude those from my query. And then if I hit the execute button up here, it'll actually run that query for me. And you'll see that there is the data. Now, the next thing that I want to show you is just a quick wildcard. So notice here that notice in the upper left-hand corner of my query manager, my SQL Server Management Studio, I already have the AdventureWorks 2014 database selected. So I don't need this line here because the database is already selected. I can actually get rid of all these fields and use wildcards like star. And this is the table name. So the so I'm going to select all records and all fields from that table. I can actually get rid of go. That just, if you have multiple commands and you can separate them with go, and it'll actually execute them individually. And you'll see this did the exact same thing as the prior command did. Now, one other thing that I want to highlight on here, I think, you know, that's all I want to share right now in terms of a select. But if you go into, I want to go back into the properties of the SQL Server for a second, because there's something really, really, really cool. Now, I went into database settings and I changed some things. And I want to show you that as we make changes, there's this script button up here. So if I wanted to change this to say C:\temp, and then I can click on the script button, and it'll actually write in the background, you'll see in the background that it changed the database to master, and it wrote out the script that it would take to make that change for me. So if I change it back, and I hit the script button again, you'll see that it created another one with the new values. Now, this is really cool because if you wanna change anything, say via PowerShell or some external method, then you can just run a SQL script inside of PowerShell. And I've got a really cool blog article that talks you through that process. So if you go to my blog, which is itproguru.com, and then I have scripts. itproguru.com is where I have all my PowerShell stuff. And if you scroll down or just do a search on SQL, create Contoso Demo SQL Server from clean Windows Server with SQL installed. And I also have create Azure Virtual Machine VM using PowerShell. And I also have build 3 machine lab in Microsoft Azure using PowerShell. Now, within these scripts, I show you how to do customization with PowerShell. So I would strongly encourage you, if you're going to be doing some PowerShell work, to take a look at some of the scripts that I have up here on managing and working with SQL Server. Probably the best one to start with is the creating Contoso demo SQL Server and doing a clean install. So I hope you enjoy that. I hope you found this extra instruction to be helpful and to save you lots of time in the near future. I hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, please share by letting other people know to visit itproguru.com for access to this and other great content. Thanks.